Are we on? Yeah? Yeah, we're good. Absolutely fantastic. How are we all doing this evening? Are we all good? Let me just get my cable out of the way. So it's really good to be with you again this evening, and I'm really looking forward to speaking and kind of sharing a bit of heart with you guys this evening. I've been spending quite a bit of time looking at the Gospels, and it's massively helping me out at the minute. So I just wanted to share a few thoughts. Now, at the minute, for me, just life full of stuff, and I'm sure that you guys are in a similar kind of situation. And life just gets on top of you. So sometimes it's good stuff, sometimes it's not so good stuff. And if you're a bit like me, then you kind of just get your head down and try and figure it out and do all this. Do this thing called life, and sometimes you get so bogged down in it that you kind of take your focus off Jesus. You kind of take your focus off God and kind of how he wants to step into your life and how he wants to do some incredible things with us. And God's really challenged me on this over the last few weeks, really, and I just wanted to share some things. So as I've been going through the Gospels, God's been pulling me back to this one passage. This passage that I'm gonna share tonight, and it's one that we're all gonna be familiar with. It's the water to wine passage. So if you wanna turn with me to John chapter 2 and verse 1, and I really love this story because it, for me, it just gives me a picture of Jesus kind of stepping into real life. He's kind of doing doing real life with real people. So we're gonna start reading from John chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, "On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.' 'Dear woman, why do you involve me?' Jesus replied, 'My time has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind that were used for the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' So they filled them to the brim. And Jesus told them, 'Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.' They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, 'Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now.' This, the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." So I just want to spend a couple of minutes just pulling out a couple of points that I kind of picked out on this. And just going to get straight into this, but before we do, I just want to pray, if that's okay. So Father God, I want to pray for this evening. I want to thank you, Lord, that we can come together and we can get into your word, and we can learn about you and about you and your character. And Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, that you would just come tonight and you would begin to change us. And any of my words, Lord, that the ones that are from you would just settle in our hearts, and the ones that aren't, Father, would fall away and would go away from this, just more like you. More in line with your heart for us, Jesus. Amen. Cool. So point number one that I want to look at today is that Jesus gets involved in our everyday lives, and he's all about people. Yeah? Do people agree with that? See, I love this passage because it gives us a bit of an insight into the life, into Jesus and his attitude and his heart for people. See, and just we get a glimpse of this normal guy. See, Jesus is celebrating. He's celebrating a wedding with, it's just like a common occurrence, everyday stuff with everyday people. And Jesus just loves to be part of it. I expect he was having a great time. He was hanging out with his mates. They were enjoying. They were having a drink, and he was doing life. And then I love this interaction. I love the fact that Mary, the mum, comes up to Jesus. And how many of you have been in that situation? You're just kind of doing life, and then a mum walks in. She pops up and goes, "Boom, I'm here." Anyway, Mary walks in and he gets the summons. He gets the summons from his mum. Now, I'm a few of you probably know my mum, and I often get the summons from my mum, and it's usually the Timothy. So it's the stern Timothy. When I'm in trouble, I usually get the summons. Hi, Mum. And usually it used to be the whole kind of go tidy your bedroom, go sort this out. Now it tends to be more like, why haven't you washed the kids? Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? So Jesus kind of, I love the reaction that Jesus has in here. So, and I think only the Savior of the world can get away with this kind of reaction. He says, dear woman, why do you involve me? Now, I think that dear bit might have just about saved him in this passage. But can you imagine me speaking to my mum like that, turning around and going, mother, why have you involved me? No, but in all fairness, the context that Jesus was saying there, it wasn't a rebuke, and it wasn't kind of a horrible. It was, we don't have a word for it, but it, the closest we can get to his mom, it was actually quite respectful what Jesus was saying. But what we see here is that, as we actually, as great as that response is, we do begin to see the heart of Jesus in this passage. See, he didn't have to do this. And by his own admission, he actually states, he says, I'm not ready. Now isn't my time. But because of his love for the people, his desire to step in, what actually could have been a really embarrassing situation for this family. Because to run out of wine within the first day would have been like, they would have been kind of cast out as a family. It would have been soul destroying for these guys. But what might look like a mundane, nothing, kind of not really very important thing to us was a huge thing for this family. And Jesus kind of understood that. And he kind of wanted to step in. But Jesus, the Savior of the world, the kind of the answer to everybody, he chose his first miracle to be this. He chose his first miracle to step into the real life of a real family doing just normal everyday things, just so that he would kind of save face for them and he can become part of this celebration. And I think that speaks massive to the character of Jesus and to the character and the of Jesus that we can call out to and we can kind of take on board and we can. This is the same Jesus that wants to be involved in our everyday lives. This is the same Jesus that no matter how insignificant or how small we think our problems are and our issues are, that Jesus is there. He's been invited to the party and he wants to be involved in every aspect of your life, no matter how small the detail you think it is. And for me, that's just a massive encouragement. That's just a huge blessing for me. See, Jesus wants the invitation. He chose to be at the wedding. He chose what might have been the most significant miracle of his ministry to be the moment he stepped into the people's life and to help them out in their everyday situation. The first miracle he did, he chose for it to be this one. And maybe that's something that we need to take away tonight, that no matter what part of life you're going through, how insignificant that you might feel, that tonight Jesus say, I want to be involved in your life. Point number two is that he is the miracle man. See, we see in Mary's response a complete understanding, a complete knowledge of who Jesus is. See, let's be honest, I'm pretty sure that Mary probably had Jesus nailed down in terms of who he was, his identity. I mean, the virgin birth, the angels, all that kind of stuff probably gave her a little bit of a prerequisite knowledge about this. But we see in the time of when her needs and her friends' needs, the first person that she turned to, the first person that she went to was Jesus. Now, we can't be sure from the text if that is the case, but I think it's a pretty good assumption. I mean, let's be honest. You've got a bit of a mad panic on and you've got this kind of Savior of the world in your back garden or stood next to you as a son. I think I know where I'd go if I was struggling with a problem. I mean, I wonder how many times Mary used that. So she wanted to use the kind of Messiah card. So she's got a bit of the washing's piled up. It's like, oh, Jesus, do us a favor. Just call down some angels from heaven and sort that washing out for me. Or she's on her way home and a donkey's there. It's like, oh, just mend that donkey for me. I wonder if she used the Messiah card. I know I certainly would have done, that's for sure. But in all seriousness, Mary's first thought was Jesus. She knew who he was. She knew his identity. She knew his heart for his people and the promise over him and that he had this authority over heaven and on earth and that she could depend on him and ask him for help. Now, how many of us in here is that a lesson for us that How many times have we tried to get through stuff? How many times have we tried to do things in our own strength? And actually, it's not until later down the line that we've realized that, do you know what? We've got the Savior of the world on our side. We've got Jesus in our corner. We've got the King of Kings rooting for us and wanting to be part of our lives. And for me, that's a huge lesson, because I find myself kind of just stumbling through life and trying to get this stuff right. But He wants to be there, and He wants to step in. He wants to be involved. Or maybe you're like me, it's a pride thing. And you just think, I can go on and I can fix this. I can fix this stuff. I don't need anybody else. Or maybe you're just in so deep and you don't know how to get out. But the one great thing about Jesus is, in Psalm 40, verse 2, it says that He lifted me out of a slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. See, Jesus steps in and He does it for us. All He needs is that invitation. He has the transforming power. In Him we find freedom. In Him we find the restoration. And all we have to do is what Mary tells us to do in verse 5. It says, do whatever He tells you. Now that doesn't come lightly, because that do whatever He tells you comes with Jesus says that we've got to kind of deny ourselves. He says we've got to give our lives to Him. We've got to obey Him. We've got to follow Him. But I can guarantee you that if we do that, then point 3 is He saves the best for you. And what an incredible way to end this story is that not only does Jesus step in and He saves face and he turns a really difficult situation for this family into actually a time of celebration, he actually goes beyond anything that had come before. He surpasses anything that had come before. I mean, we read that in verse 10, it says that everybody brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have gone or had too much to drink. But you saved the best till now. How many of you know that in Jesus there is no choice wine? In Jesus there is no second best. Jesus wants the best. Jesus has the best for each and every one of us. There's no settling for okay. Jesus promises us a life and life in abundance. Now it might not be easy. I can't say that it's going to be plain sailing. I can promise you that there will be difficult times and challenges and stress, in the same way that these guys had to go through stress to receive what Jesus had for them. But the one thing I can tell you is, when the wine is poured, it's quality. That Jesus wants to give good gifts to His children. That the Bible calls it Him the good Father. And the good Father wants to give the best gifts. He wants to give the most fruitful gifts. He wants to give the gifts that are going to bless His people the most. So can I just invite the band back up, just as a close? I just want to close with these couple of just final thoughts. Is that maybe tonight you're here and life's just full. And the stresses and the strains and all the stuff, all the worries, the family worries, money worries, the job worries, the work stuff, all that stuff just keeps beating you down. And maybe like me, you're kind of in this place of where you just get your head down and you just think, right, I've just got to get through it. I've got to plow through it. And you get into this mentality of you've got to do things in your own strength. Or maybe tonight you just feel like the wine is just running out and you haven't got what it takes to finish the party. Or maybe the wine's gone. But tonight I want to remind you that Jesus has been invited to the party. Jesus is in the building. Jesus is here and He wants to celebrate with you. And He's in the business of filling empty jars. Yeah? So Jesus is in the business right now, tonight, today. If you need that kind of new wine, that new wine experience, that water to wine experience, Jesus has got that ready for you tonight. And He just needs you just to call out to Him and just say, Lord, I need my jars filling. I need Your water to wine experience, Lord. So we just call out to Him and we just need to say, Jesus, I've got no more wine. I need You to fill me again. I need You to give me that strength. In verse 8, it says, then He told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that they had turned into wine. Then He said, everyone brings the choice wine out first, and then the cheaper wine, and the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now. Jesus has come to the party. Jesus doesn't care what has gone before. Jesus wants to give you the best now. Okay? And I just want to encourage you tonight that you've got an opportunity. You've got an opportunity. And if you want to just come and receive prayer and you want to pray with one of us, we would love to stand with you. We would love to stand with you and declare that Jesus wants to just to pour out his spirit on you fresh again. So I would just encourage you just tonight, as we worship, as these guys are going to lead us in worship, just to stand and just to call out to him and just to say, Lord, I want that new wine experience. And if you want to chat to me or any of the guys on the stage, or we just want to have coffee overwards, and let's just talk about the things of God. Let's talk about the things of Jesus. Let's encourage people in this journey. So, Lord, I'm going to just close in prayer. So, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you came and that you give us that new wine experience, Lord, that all we have to do is we have to step out and reach out to you, Lord Jesus, and you will fill us afresh today. So Lord, I just want to pray for any of us here that just need that new, that refreshing touch of you, that new wine experience, Lord, that you would just fill us to overflowing, Lord Jesus, tonight. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
To see is moving here in front of me. Thank you.